Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.
Hi, my naam is Philippine. Skakel elke woensdagoggend tussen 9 en 11 in vir Coffee Date met Philippine. Ja, jy het reg gehoor. So sit die ketel aan, maak die koffie, skop die skoene uit en geniet. John 8 verse 36. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Goeiemôre, goeiemôre, goeiemôre. Hoe wonderlik is het om weer eens terug te kan wees in die ateljee. Hoe wonderlik om met die woord van die Here te kan begin. Wow, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are no longer in bondage. Right? So, jy kan nie nog soos 'n gevangene voel as God, die Here, jou waarlik vrygemaak het nie. As Jesus jou waarlik vrygemaak het, dan is jy waarlik vry. Nou ja, lekker om terug te wees, lekker om terug te wees saam met julle almal. En nou moet ons eers daai lekker liedjie almal saam sing. Dit is die Coffee Date program. Al die koffie mense span nou saam. En kom ons gee hom al die eer. Kom aan en doen dit nog 'n keer. Dit is die Coffee Date program. Of dit nou kits is of in 'n kan. Kom en geniet die tyd in sy teenwoordigheid. Ek hoop julle het sommer almal lekker, 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 lekker saam gesing. Ja, jy is natuurlik ingeskakel op jou gunsteling radiostasie, Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. En dis die program Coffee Date met jou dienende gasvrou, Lady PM. Ek het 'n wonderlike verjaardag gehad. Die paar dae wat ek af was baie geseend en ek gee die Here al die eer. Maar nou ja, genoeg van my. Laat ek gou sien wat wie gesels vanoggend hier sommer vroegoggend al saam met my. Die mense is wakker, die mense is lekker wakker. Kom ons luister.
Goeiemôre Lady PM, Stellies in huis. Ek wil net graag vir die manne daar in Medium B by korrektiewe dienste Drakensberg sê baie dankie vir Sondag se diens wat ons kon saam met hulle gedeel het daar. En ek wil hulle tog bemoedig, your current situation is not your final destination.
Amen.
Spesifiek daar aan Tesoon Fredericks en die manne, die broeders daar, 'n mooi nagende week vir hulle en baie dankie Lady PM, ek geniet die program. Totsiens.
En dit is Mary Samuel, sy is in die huis. Baie dankie Mary. En ek sien Mary het vir my 'n birthday wish ook verlede week gestuur. Baie, baie dankie Mary vir daardie wonderlike geseënde verjaardag wens van jou kant af. En geniet die program vandag. Ek gaan later die ander boodskapies lees. My gas vandag nie van anders nie as Devin Benjamin. Hy gaan ons vandag bless met sy kragtige getuienis. Hy sit al lekker hier oor kant my en ek is so bly om hom vandag hier te hê, want ek weet hy gaan 'n groot seën vir een en elkeen wees. Nou ja, Pastor Chris sê, môre Lady PM, be blessed. Pastor Chris, ja nee, hy is in die huis, al die pad daar van Pearly Beach. Baie dankie, baie, baie dankie, Pastor Chris. Ja, verlede week, as jylle boodskapies deurgestuur het, sal jylle nou gewonder het, hoekom ek het nie gelees het nie, maar dis omdat ek nou nie hier fisies in die ateljee was nie. Maar baie, baie dankie, baie, baie dankie vir al die boodskapies wat deurkom. Hier sê iemand, môre sis P en familie, goed om weer jou stem te hoor vandag. Hoop jy het 'n geseënde verjaardag gehad en mag God jou ryklik seën. Niemand anders nie as Pastor Lenet, sy is in die huis. En hier kom Tinka baie sterk deur. Goeiemôre, môre Queen van die Coffee Dates. Ay, I like that. Ons sien uit om weer te luister na 'n nuwe getuienis. Dis so wonderlik om familie te wees in Jesus. Niemand anders nie as Tinka nie. Tinka het getroue, Tinka. Sy is in die huis. Welkom Tinka, welkom. Ja, nee, die kom die boodskapies kom so pragtig deur. Hier sê iemand in sy teenwoordigheid, sy sê sy sing dit vir my. Môre Lady P Mill is in die huis. Ek luister gereeld maar sê nie graag nie. U is my sielskos. Ek gaan vandag 126 km ry vir 'n onderhoud. Ek vra asseblief voorbereiding. Baie dankie. Sterkte Mill. Nou ja, kom ons luister na die eerste lied. Dit is ook die tema van vandag se program Set Me Free. Kom ons luister na die lied gesing deur Filippine. Amen, whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Die lied Set Me Free gesing deur Filippine. Ek hoop julle het dit geniet. En iemand wat regtig waar tuig van 'n lewe wat hy sekerlik een kan gegooi het, maar 'n lewe van dwelms is niemand anders nie as my gas vandag, Devin Benjamin. Nou, ek wil net so 'n bietjie agtergrond omtrent Devin gee. Hy is die seun van Valencia en Wyle Leslie Benjamin. Sy baba broertjie se naam is Joshua. Hy is gebore en hy het groot geword in Bridgetown, Athlone en het later na Strandfontein toe getrek in Desember 2011. Sy skoolopleiding het hy ontvang by St. Joseph's College van voorskools af tot en met matriek. En dan het hy ook sy diploma verwerf in computer programming in 2003. Nou, dit is my voorreg vandag. It is really an honor and a privilege to have my guest here in studio, none other than Devin Benjamin. Welcome, Devin.
Thank you very much, Philippine.
What a privilege to have you here, and I am so excited. I'm thinking of this, of the theme, Set Me Free, and how you can relate even to the song that was playing. So we actually rolled out the red carpet for you today. welcome, Devin. It is very nice to have you here. Now, Devin, let's start immediately. You come from a stable family. Tell the listeners more about your family, please.
So we are originally from Bridgetown. I was the baby for 16 years. I do have an older brother, Marcelino okay. Benjamin. And so he's 7 years older than me. We grew up in Bridgetown until my dad had passed away about 5 years ago. But my family was a very, very good family to us, where they would provide for us, you know.
Yes.
My parents had their own business. They worked for Sissy Boy, so they made clothing.
Oh.
And we were fortunate enough, myself and my eldest brother were fortunate enough to be sent to a private school, to St. Joseph's College in Rondebosch. But I mean, you know, it everything comes at a cost. So my parents sacrificed a lot of family time.
Yes.
In order for us to then be able to go and experience private schooling, education. What can you say?
Yes.
You look at the parents of former years compared to the newer generation.
Yes.
And there's nothing that you can compare, because they know about hard work. They know about putting in the hours so that they can support. They know about struggle as well.
Sure.
And, I think that's the highlight for me with my family and how we supported each other, you know, even through my abuse, the bad years. My family was there, and there's years that I had missed with my baby brother as well, due to the addiction.
Yes.
And sometimes you can't get those years back, but you try and make up for it. But
yes.
I think my family was a good role model for other parents as well. I'm sure they will hear from my testimony now.
Wonderful.
As to how they
wonderful.
Stood by me.
Yes. I'm just going to read out a few messages. Lynette sê sy is ingetune om vandag te luister. Sy het weer 'n boodskap gestuur. Sy sê sy luister om te sien wat ons God van wonders in iemand se lewe gedoen het. Kan nie wag nie. Dankie Lynette. En dan is hier nog 'n boodskapie weer van Tinka. Tinka sê pragtige lied en pragtige sing, dis diep en besonder. Amen, amen. Alle eer aan God. Baie dankie Tinka. Nou, yes, vir die wat dalk nou net ingeskakel het, wat nou klaar die koppie koffie agter die blad het. Ek gesels met Devin Benjamin. Hy is my gas vandag. Hy kom deel met ons oor sy lewe. as 'n dwelmverslaafde, maar hoe God hom bevry het. En is so wonderlik om vir hom vandag hier te hê. And Devin, you mentioned something about the song Set Me Free, something that I completely forgot about. Can you just share that with the listeners, please?
Yes, so in 2008, when I found myself in the rehabilitation program at Mount Hope in Mitchell's Plain, I had the honor of meeting Philippine. And at that time, she was busy with recording, and she had taken a group of the ex-drug addicts in the home with her on a recording, and I was thankful that she didn't take me because I don't have a voice for singing, right? But ironically, I think it was actually the song that she was busy with, and I mean, I just reminded her about it now. Wow. I asked her, when did she make the song, because the song sounded so familiar.
Yes.
When I was part of the Mount Hope congregation, she had sang that song there at Mount Hope, and so I mean, it just triggered something for me. And ironically, I'm sitting here now later after she had released the song, and it just brings back so many memories. The memories are flooding in, and
you
know how good God is, how great He is at the moment.
And to think I met you 13 years ago, and when last did we see each other? Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Ja, toe kry ek nou vir Devin daar op Facebook mense, en ek sê vir myself, nee, nou gaan ek weer kontak verloor nie. But ons het mense van Mount Hope en Teen Challenge het ons mense gekry wat deur die program gegaan het. Almal wat ex-dwelm verslaafdes was, het ons gekry om die lied te doen. Maar nietemin, Devin, back to you. You mentioned that your mother mostly supported you, and although you had a father figure in your life, your mom played the role of both mother and father. Please share that with the listeners.
Yeah, so I think we find this, and I don't want to stigmatize anything, but in lots of communities, and I think in the colored community as well, we find that we do have absent father figures.
Yeah.
Even though the father is in the house, or the father might not be in the house, and the mother is left to raise their children alone, we find ourselves in that, unfortunately. And my dad was there, but you know, he did the best that he could do. He didn't have the role model that other good dads make have, and I'm not trying to cover up for anybody,
yes,
or even trying to talk him bad, you know. He's passed on now, and I've come to love my father since then, but it was a difficult time, because his mother died when he was 13 years old, and his father was left to raise him, but they hardly spoke, they hardly communicated, and he was left to fend for himself. And so as time went on, he obviously grew as an adult and as a father, before becoming a father, but he grew as a person into an adult, met my mom, they fell in love, and they got married, had children, right? Eldest brother, and then I came along 7 years later, and my mom was there to comfort and to show affection. My dad wasn't the person to show that affection. He showed it in different ways, not in a way where I wanted it from him, where he would say, you know what, I love you and congratulations, well done. He would unfortunately say something, but it would come out in a negative way, and it impacted me over the years, and I was looking for something in my father that I never ever got. So my mom was there to buffer and to kind of make up for my father's shortfalls, and like I said, my father didn't know any better. He had tried his best, he had bettered himself. If you compare him to the relationship that he had with his father. And so my mom would tell me, and she told me stories about the way that they had communicated with one another, and the lack of communication, and the lack of fatherly love.
Yes.
You know, and so I will repeat it again. It was difficult for my dad to do something that he didn't know how to do. And my mom was there, and she tried to do the best that she could do. And I'm not also taking away anything from my dad's character, because, you know, he made up in different ways. But my mom was the one that had that stable hold in my life. And she still does have. You know, it's important for us to also realize that mothers do carry so much weight. Mothers are able to play the role of a father and a mother.
Yeah.
But a father to play a role of a mother and a father is something very difficult, because they don't have that in them. But yes, I'm thankful for that though.
Amen. Luister, as ek gesels met Devin Benjamin en hy deel sy getuienis saam met ons. And yes, I agree with you that no one can replace the father figure in a person's life. And it's difficult when a mother has to take over. Devin, you also lost your father at a very early age in your life. Can you please share that with us?
Yeah, so it's, look, I think some people's parents live until they are in the late 50s, early 60s, and then their parents pass away. My father unfortunately passed away, it's now about 5 years, 6 years, 2015. Mm. He had passed away in 2015, and we had found out 3 months before he had passed away that he had stage 4 cancer, lung cancer. And, you know, it was a turbulent time because prior to that, I got saved in 2008 and I tried to pull myself right. And, you know, for all of the things that I was pointing at my father to say that he was doing wrong and he didn't do right in his life, and it impacted me. I had to find that love that Jesus Christ gave to me, you know, when he died for us on the cross and I accepted him as my savior. I had to find that in myself and forgive my father for trying to do the best that he could do. Mm. And so three months before he died, this man had changed so much and he became the man that I wanted in my life.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
that last three months of his life made up for a lifetime of me looking for that man. And it was a difficult time because my wife was also pregnant and I was retrenched from my company. I worked for MasterCard at that time. And the company had downscaled, so we were no longer needed and they moved the department overseas. And my wife was pregnant. And the morning that he had passed away, we were supposed to take him into St. Luke's Hospice. But we had a conversation also the night before, and it was something that touched me and still stays with me. So my wife's last day at work before she took maternity, and I dropped my wife at work. I went home to my mom's place. So yeah. My mom lived in Bridgetown at the time. Got there, and my eldest brother was there. And he's very fair, so I can see when there's something wrong. When he cried, his face was very bloodshot, and his eyes were red and so on. And as I walked in there, my brother said, "That is not looking good." I said, "What happened?" I was beside myself because I thought, you know, the conversation that I had the night before with my father to tell him that he just needs to hang on and hold on and wait for us. We're going to be there for him in the morning and take him to the hospice and everything is going to be okay. It just resounded in my head and I was like, oh, what's going on, Lord? Why now? Did I not make it in time to see my father now? Did he pass away already? What? And I walked into the room. And my father was laying on the bed because he was bedridden. He wasn't strong enough to get up anymore. And, I mean, he was a man that had nice muscular legs. And he was very, he was well-built for his age. Active all the time because of doing the CMT work and so on. And, I mean, my father was reduced to a fraction of himself.
Sure.
And I walked into the room and he was laying there on the bed. And his eyes was just gazing at the foot of the bed to where the cupboard was. And I went and I hugged him and I said, "Daddy, I'm here. I love you. Megan loves you," because my wife said I must pass her regards on. And I said, "We're ready to take you. Are you okay? We're just waiting for the St. Luke's Hospice to come." And as I did that, I held my father, and my father took his last breath in my arms. And I didn't realize it at the time.
Take your time, eh? Take a deep breath.
Yeah, sorry.
I think I'm going to give you a break now. Laat ons net gou vir ons gas net so 'n bietjie van 'n breek gee, want ek weet dit is nie maklik om te praat oor sy pa nie. He calls his father his hero. So ons het regtig empatie met dit luisteraars en ek is so dankbaar en bly vir die verandering wat die Here ook in Devin se lewe kon gemaak het. maar ons gaan hom net gou so 'n breekie gee. So vir julle wat net sopas ingeskakel het, ek gesels met Devin Benjamin. Hy's net sopas gesels van hoe hy sy pa verloor het. Ons weet dat baie van ons gaste soms moeilik vir hulle om terug te gevat te word, maar ons weet ook dat vandag gaan iemand gestig word. So terwyl ons vir hom 'n breekie gee, kom ons luister na hierdie pragtige lied. Ons gaan eers so 'n station promo hê en dan gaan ons luister na Iris Martin wat vir ons gaan sing My Siel Hunker, en dan lees ek verder nog die boodskapies wat deurgekom het. Vir die eerste keer op Coffee Date, My Siel Hunker, gesing deur Iris Martin. En wat 'n pragtige lied is dit nie? Hunker jou siel vandag vir nog meer van die Here. Ek raak sommer opgewonde. Nou ja, dit is die program Coffee Date met jou dienende gasvrou Lady PM op jou gunsteling radiostasie Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. En ek sien dis rus besig hier op WhatsApp. Kom ons luister net gou na hierdie stemnote wat deurgekom het.
Good morning, Lady PM guest and all the listeners out there. I just want to say I'm tuned in. Yes, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Amen. So we are free. We don't have to go back and look back to the way things used to be and were in our old life. We've been renewed. Our minds have been renewed. So we are set free in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful, blessed day, and looking forward to the rest of Coffee Date this morning, listening to your guest. Wow, praise God. This is Amina Jewel. Amen. God bless.
The Queen of Gospel Jazz is in the house. Thank you, Queen Amina Jewel. Oh, you know, I just appreciate all the listeners that's tuned in so faithfully. My God, richly bless you. Just another message that I would like to read. Let me see. Good morning, Philippine. Okay, this is Megan Benjamin, Devin's wife. Come on now. I would like to say I'm so proud of Devin, the man, father, and husband that he has become. He always, is it the right word, stops to become a better person, or always strive to become a better person when feeling he is lacking in any area. But I pray that he will forever know that God is his, our anchor. All that he has accomplished thus far is only by the grace of God, never giving in. We love him from his wife, the kids, and his two mommies. Thank you so much, Megan, for tuning in. Yes, that is Devin's beautiful wife. Do you have anything to say on that? No, Devin?
No, I just want to thank my wife and my two mothers and the rest of the family and friends for always supporting, you know.
Yes.
Life hasn't been easy, even after being saved. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't get easier, but we know that we have a helper.
Amen.
You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, things turn around.
Yeah.
The struggle and the fight is not yours alone. You know, the Lord says that he's going to be there for you and he's going to take you from place to place and strength to strength.
Amen.
And your test will become your testimony.
Amen.
And my wife herself has her own testimony. So hopefully
so
one day
I will
day
have
she
to
can,
invite her. Yes, definitely.
But yeah, that's my rock.
Wow. Megan, thank you so much. Is it Megan or Megan?
Megan.
Megan, thank you so much for tuning in. And back to you, Devin. We were still busy speaking about the loss of your father.
Yes. Thank you for the break, though.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
And I apologize to the listeners for.
No, you don't have to.
But yeah, it's still something fresh, even though it happened a couple of years ago. I remember it so clearly, you know, getting home to my mom's place, hugging my father and realizing that he took his last breath in my arms, then seeing my mother and my eldest brother break down because my youngest brother was at school. And I still had my father in my arms and I was talking to him and when it hit me, I broke down. My eldest brother thought over my dad, and you know, that was testimony in itself, because my eldest brother and my father's relationship wasn't also that good, you know, as they were growing up. But my family, we loved each other, and we looked past the differences, and it took its toll on me. And what also just struck me was that all my wrongdoings, all my rebellious actions towards my parents just hit me at that time. Even though I was saved, I got saved a couple of years before that, and I was working through the process of forgiving myself and learning to love others. It hurt me so much, and I was thankful that I found out that my father was sick at the time that we found out he had cancer, and it gave me the opportunity to see a different side of him. Where once he was my father figure, he became somebody that I disliked, that I rebelled against. He became my hero.
Sure.
And unfortunately, he had told me not too long before that he won't be able to see my son. He won't see my son in the flesh.
Sure.
And I said, "No, Daddy, you're going to be here still."
Mm-hmm.
But I could see his health was deteriorating. And I said, "You're going to be here still. You're going to see your son." Your son's son, like your grandson. And I didn't understand what he meant, but I think that he knew his end was close.
Yeah.
And so he died. He passed away 18 days before my son was born. And it was quite a difficult time for me because I was retrenched. I did get paid out from my company and I was able to support my family, but I was still trying to find my feet. I was stumbling over my feet. And, to have a wife that is also grounded in the Lord, and a mother-in-law that is grounded in the Lord, that's able to encourage, it was such a blessing because they could lift me up and I could also go and help my mother and be there for my mother. My eldest brother was there to comfort him as well, and he played a big role in this, in actually getting the whole family together and pushing us through the whole situation. But it was a very, very big loss because my father had made an effort. When we used to play sport, he would go and be there on a Saturday to watch us playing sport. Watch my eldest brother playing cricket on a Saturday, watch me play soccer. As I got into my teens, unfortunately, my temper got the better of me and I opened my mouth towards my father while I was playing soccer, and he just withdrew himself from watching, but he still loved the thought of me playing sport.
Mm-hmm.
And he had put his heart and soul into ensuring that the family was provided for.
Yes,
and
wonderful.
And we were kept together. But unfortunately, from my end, I couldn't see past certain things, but it took time for me to get to that point and
of
understand
course.
And forgive him and forgive myself as well.
Yeah.
But it was, nonetheless, it's still a difficult thing to think about and to speak about. But his memory lives on with us.
Amen.
And what I was very thankful for, is that at that time we had moved, we were part of Good Hope Christian Center in Stramfontein, and my pastor, Pastor Nathan, made an effort and he said, "Come, do you want me to go and pray for your parents?" I said, "Please, come." And he actually led my father to the Lord. So I come from a Catholic background, and my father, I never ever thought that he would accept the Lord in that way, but my father accepted the Lord. And I know that when his eyes closed, the Lord comforted him and kept him and he's seated in heaven.
Amen.
So it's a miracle that I saw happening in that time, not only for him to change and become that person, show that affection and that love, but also to accept the Lord, which was my heart's desire.
Wow, wonderful. Luisteraars, as u dalk nou net ingeskakel het, ek gesels met niemand anders nie as Devin Benjamin. Hy het net gou 'n stemnota ook deurgekom en dan Devin, we will continue. Let's just listen to this voice note quickly.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Philippine and all the lovely listeners of Coffee Date, Radio K Pulpit. Yes, Philippine, that's so true. The word of the Lord. Jy is seën vrygemaak, dit is waarlik, waarlik vry. Mm. And we are free. We are free indeed. Amen. Ek stap soos ek al by 12, 13 kilometer al. So lekker mooi dag vandag en ek wil net vir almal een mooie dag toewens, geseënde dag toewens. Al die luisteraars, hulle pien jou gas, wat ons so mooi weer vanoggend weer bemoedig met sy testimony. Baie dankie. En geseënde dag aan almal. Het is Ricardo Benet, ja, maar ek is een bykie tyd asem uit, want ek stap, soos ek gesê het, en ja, groete aan almal. Blessings, Ricardo Benet.
Thank you, Ricardo Bonnet. Ja, en ek kyk, hierdie man is deesda baie fitness conscious. Hy stap elke dag. Baie dankie, Ricardo, vir hy prachtige, prachtige, bemoedigende boodskap. So glad to have you with us. I'm speaking to Devin Benjamin, and yes, let's continue. Devin, after what you've went through, how necessary do you think is counseling for people, you know, who lose parents or who lost parents?
Philippine, I think it's of utmost importance. You know, people handle losing a loved one, sorry, in a different ways. But you know, ultimately, there is something that is still left, whether it be a scar or a void. And to speak about things to somebody that is a healthcare professional with mental health and so on is very good, because they actually touch on topics and they will open up things which you wouldn't maybe want to speak about. But you do need that in order to get complete healing.
Yes,
yes, you know, Jesus is our Savior and He provides us with the love that we need, and God is the creator of all things, and through God anything is possible. But what I'm trying to say is that it is of utmost importance that you do speak to somebody, whether it be a professional or a friend, somebody that doesn't know what they are speaking about, because sometimes you might get counsel that is not accurate and it might just cause more harm than good. And if you do want to move forward in life and you know, not carry the baggage with you, I would think it's the best thing that you can do to actually go and speak to somebody, so that you can leave that
Absolutely.
Hurt and the scarring and the loss where it needs to be, so that you can grow as a person. People do often carry things with them, and it starts eating on them in the inside.
Yes.
And then you find yourself turning to substance abuse or to doing things that you wouldn't really do. So,
I agree with you. It is very important for people to go for counseling. Nou ja, luister, as nou hoor jy hoe belangrik dit is om berading te kry as jy 'n geliefde verloor het. Dit is deel van die genesingsproses. Now, Devin, both you and your brother attended St. Joseph's College in Rondebosch. And as you grew older, you started feeling empty inside, almost unfulfilled, and you couldn't really understand why you felt that way. Please share.
Yes, Philippine. So, growing up, you know, with my family having work and so on, having their own business, focusing on providing for us, I threw myself in my sport. I had a promising career in football. I played cricket as well. My eldest brother was a cricketer. He's a very, very good cricket player, bowler. And when you're young, you don't realize things because you're focused on other things, playing, friends, enjoying yourself, you know, loving your life and just enjoying things to the fullest, because you don't really have a care in the world. But as time goes on and you mature, you start seeing things and you question things because your mind is changing. And it became prevalent to me as time went on that I started getting more like angry inside, empty. I felt that there was something missing and I wasn't sure what it was. And this is where I started rebelling. It started with small things, becoming defiant against my parents and not listening when they said, no, don't be friends with this one. Be careful who you are friends with. Be careful what you are doing. And my parents did the best that they could do to provide for us and give us a life where we could go and explore, but within bounds, you know. But as time went, I got to the age of 16, I think my anger was directed at my father because of the lack that I felt from him, and it just spiraled out of control from me. So, that emptiness is something that we need to just watch.
Nou ja, luisteraars, ek hoop julle is nog ingeskakel en ons gaan baie, baie dieper met hierdie onderhoud. Net na hierdie breek gaan Devin vertel van sy lewe, van dwelms en hoe die Here hom daardeur gedra het. So, ons wens vir hom alle sterkte toe, dit is nie makkelijk nie, maar hy is hier vandag om 'n verandering in iemand se lewe te maak. And he boldly stepped out and said, I want to do this. because I believe that what God has done for me, God can do for someone else. So just after the break, we'll be back. And then we are going much, much, much deeper with his testimony. Ek hoop elkeen van julle is nog lekker, lekker ingeskakel hier op Kaapse Kansel 729 AM, die program Coffee Date met jou, dienende gasvrou, Lady PM. Die WhatsApp line 081-729-1657. Geniet die lied, die volgende lied, Trane van Genade, wat so gepas is, gesing deur Dillian Lenham. Trane van Genade, gesing deur Dillian Lerum. Jy is natuurlik ingeskakel op Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM, jou gunsteling radiostasie, jou daglikse reisgenoot. Soos ek altyd sê, jy hoef nie alleen te voel nie. En dit is die program Coffee Date met jou dienende gasvrou Lady PM. Ek gesels vandag met my gas Devin Benjamin. En hier sê iemand 'n boodskap. Mary Samuels van Stellenbosch sê, my trane rol, sterkte Devin. My seun kan net nie oor sy daddy se dood 5 jaar gelede kom nie. Sy sê klein Lyle was ook nog nie gebore nie toe sy oupa sterf nie. Dankie vir jou getuie. Baie dankie Maria. Ja, dit is waaroor koffiedייט gaan, om lewens te verander, om lewens te verryk. Selfs 'n program van vertroosting, en dit is wat die Here kan doen. Ons gee die Here al die eer. Hy is die een wat alles moontlik maak. Devin, once again, welcome to Cape Pulpit and to the program Coffee Date with Lady PM. So nice to have you here. So, let's go a bit deeper. Ons gaan 'n bietjie dieper, luisteraars. You had many disappointments. And you previously smoked dagga, left it, and then started smoking dagga again. Please share this with the listeners.
Yes, so the very first time I tried substances, I smoked with a close friend of mine. We were at school, and it actually wasn't dagga, it was mandrax. And I mean, I tried it, and I went and I played cricket. I had cricket practice after that, immediately after that. And I'm a bowler, I was a bowler back in the day, and ended up bowling, and subsequently I slipped while I was bowling and I hurt my back. I didn't worry about doing it again until maybe a few weeks later, because that was my introduction. And I then started with dagga, tried it a few times, and I felt it wasn't for me. It was just to be naughty and to try things out. And, you know, at times it's peer pressure as well.
Yeah.
Left the dagga, and then I ended up smoking mandrax again for maybe a space of 3 months, but over the weekend. And then I just decided, you know what, this is not me. It's changing my character, and I'm going to leave this. My parents allowed me to drink because they were drinkers, social drinkers over the weekend. They would have an occasional drink and so on. So they always told us, listen, if you want to drink, you can drink in the house. Rather, we don't want you to be on street corners or at anybody's houses drinking and performing. Then you don't get home. Rather, come home and you can invite your friends and you guys can have a few drinks and whatever, but obviously within bounds. I mean, the drinking wasn't a problem because I would have an occasional drink whenever with my friends, and I was very focused on sport, and I just cut everything out and carried on. But then over the course of my life, going through my schooling, finishing matric, went to go and study. My first college closed and I lost all accreditation. I had to go back and study again, start from the beginning, and I got my diploma. So in the course of getting my diploma, I started smoking again. And I went from that onto ecstasy, and then onto the as well. But we'll touch on that now.
Yes. Yeah, so during your 21st birthday, that was, you tried out, which drug was that?
Ecstasy.
You also mentioned that things got worse, and tuk became the drug of your choice.
Yes.
Why?
Yes. So as time went on, I was in the process of completing my studies. I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and we were together for, I think, 2 years. I we went through a breakthrough just before my 21st birthday, and friends of mine were selling drugs. So they sold ecstasy and took, and I always told myself, you know what, I don't want to go into this. I want to focus on my sport and see how far I can take soccer. But going through something emotional like this, I just became very rebellious also, and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to go and try this now because my friends are doing it, and let me see how it makes me feel. And it's not something that I want to do for the rest of my life, but I want to be naughty and just, you know, open, spread my wings. And I tried the ecstasy. I was on it for a while. And then I just decided, you know what, I can't, because I'm smoking tacha, doing ecstasy. I'm enjoying myself too much. Let me try and slow down. Stop to that, and I just continue drinking. And I finished my programming diploma, and something just told me, let's try to.
Sure.
And that was the worst ever because, you know, if you have an addictive mentality and you try something and you find a liking in it, then you kind of get stuck into
it. Yes, that's it.
And I think that is where I found myself.
Wow. And then you also stole a huge amount of money from your parents. Could you please share that with the listeners?
Yeah, I think that was one of the lowest points in my life.
Yeah.
You know, as an addict, and you find yourself in a situation where you're not able to provide for yourself and for your habit. So I was smoking cigarettes at the time. I smoked cigarettes for 11 years. And my mom would always make a plan and buy me cigarettes, so she supported me in that way. But when it came to drugs, my parents didn't condone it, so I wouldn't get money. So I had to find alternative ways of making money. I was able to hustle on the street, if you may call it that. Had a bit of street smarts, and I ended up stealing. So I started stealing small things because my parents were in the clothing manufacturing industry. I ended up taking a few garments of clothing, and I would go and sell it to people, make money like that. And then this one day, something just told me to go into my parents' room and look in this container. As if something was drawing me to it, you know. And I looked and I found this plastic bag full of 200 rand notes. And my parents were saving up money to buy another car. So it first started with me taking a 200 rand. And then I smoked the 200 rand out on tuk. And then I became greedier. And I ended up taking 10,000 rand. And I smoked that money out in 2.5 weeks. I was a heavy user. And I mean, I knew the consequences of what would come after my parents found out that I took the money. But, you know, I don't know, the Lord had a plan for me. I thought my father was going to kill me the night that he found out. Because they found that bag of money. It was actually 60,000 rand that I took from my parents' room. And I hid it in my cupboard with the plan of paying it back. But how I was going to pay it back, I didn't know because I wasn't working. And, you know, this is the lie that the devil tells you. You know, you're going to be able to pay the money back and so on. But my ignorance and my stupidity just got the best of me at that time. And I ended up taking the money and I dragged the money out. And when I came home, my parents asked me where the money is. And I thought my dad was really going to kill me. But the grace of the Lord was over my life at that time. And, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how he handled himself and how my mother handled herself by forgiving me. But I struggle. I find it hard to forgive myself for doing what I did because I wasn't thinking straight. The drugs just took over.
Wow. And then your parents also put you out of the house.
Yes.
How did this affect you?
You know, at the time you're so hard-headed because you're in this spiral, this downward spiral, and so, you know, you start desensitizing yourself from things, and so from one small fight, it goes to a bigger fight, and it goes to a bigger fight where your parents are pouring their hearts out to you, and they're telling you, listen, but you are not raised like this, you haven't, what have we done to you to cause you to do this, now you start looking for reasons to blame them, and going from the arguments to the fights, to my father having an axe over my head.
Sure.
You know, telling me that he's going to eat me, and me threatening my father and telling my father, if you raise that axe, make sure that you eat me and I don't get up again, because if I get up, it's going to be problems. And it just went to the level of disrespect. And I mean, throwing me out of the house, it didn't affect me that much because I had street smarts. But it was something that affected me later on.
Sure. Luister, as ons gaan baie dieper nou met Devin se getuienis, en daar is al mense wat ook sê hulle kan relate, hulle kan vereenselwig wat gebeur het. So ons gaan nog 'n breek gee. Ek dink die breuke is eintlik baie baie belangrik dat hulle ook 'n bietjie asem kan skep. So kom ons luister na Alles vir jou en vir my, en julle kan so lank nog 'n lekker koppie koffie gaan geniet. Dan is ons terug. Ons luister na Pastor Winston Fortuin. Alles vir jou en vir my. Ja, dis Regio Gunsteling Radiostasie Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Jy bied jou daaglikse brood en jy kan soveel ervaar op hierdie stasie. En natuurlik is jy ingeskakel op Koffiedייט met jou dienende gasvrou Lady PM. Ek hoop daai koffie smaak nog sommer baie baie lekker. Net nie te veel koffie drink nie, hoor. Nou ja, ek gesels met Devin Benjamin. Ek gaan net gou so twee boodskapies lees wat deurgekom het. Sjoe, sis, hierdie testimony bring trane na my oë. Dis natuurlik Pastor Lenet van Gauteng. Sy sê my seun het ook en my man se hele savings en baie ander goed uit die huis gesteel. Ook op drugs. Ek bid nog steeds vir hom en glo God kan ook 'n verandering in sy lewe bring, net soos hy met hierdie jong man gedoen het. Pastor Lenet, ons vertrou saam met jou. En ek gaan vir Devin ook vra om vir hom in die gebed te hou. Baie dankie dat jy nog steeds ingeskakel is. Robin Africa sê, I'm tuned into your amazing show. Wow, this testimony of Devin is everything I needed to hear to sum up God's grace this week. A message to Devin. Continue walking in God's marvelous light. I pray God's blessing over you, especially the promise of Psalm 84 verse 11. The Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from Devin walks uprightly. Lady PM, you are amazing as always, and I'm so blessed to be tuned in to Coffee Date. Thank you, Robin, for that wonderful, wonderful encouragement to both of us. God bless you, my dear. Yes, Robin Africa, one of my previous guests. I would like to have her back soon. Thank you. Thank you so much, Robin. Nou ja, Pastor Lenet, she's just giving the name of a son, Devin, that you can just keep him in your prayers. Tyrell, if I now spell it correctly, pronounce it correctly, Tyrell. But let's keep title in our prayers. Devin, back to you. You were still telling us about how your parents put you out of the house and what you've experienced, how that affected you. Please carry on.
So my parents put me out due to the fact that they were hurt. They didn't know what more to do and I wasn't listening. And at that time, it affected me and I didn't understand how. Because, thinking back now, it actually added fuel to the fire. No, I became more rebellious and thought, you know what, you put me out, I'm going to show you now, and I'll make a life for myself, and I'll still carry on doing whatever I needed to do. But yet, when I needed something, or when I was angry, I knew where to go, because my parents' door was still open.
Yeah,
they would put me out, but I would be able to go home and go and eat. So they still showed me love in that way, but it just sparked something, and it pushed me, and at no harm or no fault of my parents, would they be blamed for it because of me doing what I did. So it did take its toll on me, and I think in a negative way, because I just didn't want to listen. I just carried on.
Yeah. So Devin, you were also once caught in possession of tuk, and you were locked up in a holding cell. Can you please share this experience with the listeners?
So I was caught. I was standing at the merchant's, not premises, but I mean where they sell, in Q Town, and I was busy talking to one of the guys, the dealers. I had already got some of the drugs. And I was waiting for the others to come. And I was so deep in conversation, I didn't see the police coming, the city police. And when I looked up, it was too late because they were getting out of the car already. And I had the drugs in my back pocket, and actually in my front pocket, and I took it from my front pocket and I put it, I tried to slip it in between my boxer and my jeans, so that when they do try and search me, they will overlook it or it will slip down in my pants.
Yeah.
And it's so ironic because they searched from top to toe. They didn't find, they went into my pockets, they didn't find, they went, and they found it. Yeah. And I was under the impression that this stuff was going to slide down my leg and I would come away with it. But they then said, come on, yeah. You know, fat. And, you know, I was so hard-headed at the time that I thought, you know what, I'm not going to say anything. I'm okay. I'll be able to survive. And, you know what, come what may, I'm not going to tell my parents because I can't involve them. It's my own doing. Yes. I knew that I was doing wrong. And they took me, they put the handcuffs on me and put me in the back of the car, and I ended up going to the Athlone police station, and they processed me, questioning and whatever, and they tried to find out who the merchant is. They knew already who it was, but I just didn't give up any names because, you know, it's very dangerous to do things like that as well. And, I mean, I just kept quiet and I said, it's, you know where I got the drugs, I don't know the person's name.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to have to do what you need to do, and this was on a Friday. And was it Friday? Saturday. And so they went and they put me in the cell. And I laid there. And luckily when I got into the cell, there was this elderly gentleman. He also used to sell drugs in Newtown.
Yeah.
And I bought drugs from him a few times. And I was on good terms with him. And I got into the cell. I saw him and I greeted him. And I mean, that was that. Nothing happened. They never arrested me or anything like that in the cell. And I just tried to abide my time and so on. And my dad had spoken to somebody in a police station. And I don't know what had happened there, but, I was taken out of the cell on a Sunday. I had to appear on, Monday morning, and, ultimately I wasn't charged, but I mean, that was something that was a one of the turning points in my life, but it wasn't the major turning point. It was a big scare for me, but I was so hard-headed at that time, and I didn't want to listen to reason. I just carried on doing it. But I became more cautious as time went on from there.
Wow. So baie boodskapies wat hier kom. Ek probeer net gou kyk, waar is die boodskapies? En ja, luister, as ek gesels met niemand anders nie as Devin Benjamin, en hy deel sy getuienis met ons oor wat hy alles deurgemaak het toe hy natuurlik dwelms gebruik het. Ek probeer die boodskapies kry, ons gaan net gou kyk wat het van die boodskapies geword, maar ek weet Gail Olivier het 'n boodskap gestuur en sy het gesê hulle het load shedding gehad en sy is nou eens ingeskakel en sy sê wat 'n kragtige getuienis, mag God sy grondgebied vergroot. Dis so 'n goddelike voorreg om na u program te luister. Ja, Gail Olivier is in die huis. Welkom Gail. Nou ja, Devin, let's continue. Let's go a bit deeper. The turning point came when your grandmother passed away. Please share.
Yes, I think to get some context on this, Philip, let's just go back a few months. So my drug abuse was so bad, and I mean the habit was so strong that I needed to drug at least once a day.
Sure.
And I mean it wasn't small amounts where I would take one or two puffs.
Yeah.
It would be quite a few puffs that I would need to take, and I mean the urge, it's a strong urge, a driving factor in an addict's life. But throughout everything, God's grace and His hand of protection was on my life.
Yeah.
And I ended up reading the Bible while I was doing drugs also. Yeah. I would read scripture and things time and again. And I would look up the tribe of Benjamin because my surname is Benjamin.
Benjamin, wow.
So it got to a point the year before my grandmother had passed away, the Christmas Eve, where I found myself with kneeling by my mommy's feet while she was sitting on a chair with my head in her lap, and I was crying, I was bawling, you know, because I got to that point of realizing, listen, if I don't change my life now, I'm either going to die or I'm going to end up in prison. And I cried with so much sorrow at that time, and I told my mom that I can't anymore, I want to change, but I don't know how to change. I tried many a times throughout that period of my life to stop drugging. And I thought that I was strong enough, but I realized that I wasn't. You know, and it just brings it back again to show you that you can't do things on your own without the grace of the Lord, without
Amen.
God's hand in your life. And I went throughout that time of my life, not understanding, but also knowing that there was still something, because I should have died many a times as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so going from that Christmas day, or the Christmas Eve, to the day that my grandmother passed away, because I was out of the house at that time, I was living at my ex-girlfriend's place. My grandmother passed away. I found out about it. I ended up going up to my grandmother's place, because she lived in Penland Estate, Crawford. I walked up there from Silvertown, and I saw my grandmother laying there, and I just cried. I cried. I think I cried for about 3 hours straight, just sitting there, rubbing her head and crying, because she was one of the people that always encouraged me, never had a harsh word to say about me doing drugs, but yet telling me that I was wrong and that I need to change my life, because I wasn't brought up like that. They were fond of all of the grandkids, and I mean, she always would encourage us. She said, "When are you going to stop doing what you're doing? Because your parents work hard to give you what you want, and to give you your schooling and allow you to go overseas and things like that." Because I was overseas a few times as well. And I always told them, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to come right. I'm trying also. It's difficult." But I didn't understand that I couldn't do it on my own.
On your own, yes.
It was the Lord that had to come Amen. Into my life at that time. It was an appointed time. And He just came. He came at that right time. And He changed things. He made the bad for good.
Wonderful, wonderful.
But the loss of my grandmother, it was something that just it knocked me down. And I promised her that I was going to change my life. And I tried. From that day, things changed. Slowly, but it changed.
Amen. Wow. Nou ja, luisteraars, ek gesels met Devin Benjamin en hy deel sy getuienis saam met ons. And what a powerful testimony he's sharing with us today. But Devin, you still struggled with drug addiction and turned to your great-grandmother for help. Please share that with the listeners.
So my grandmother passed away, I think it was in June. It was on my cousin's birthday, and my parents' anniversary was in July. My great-grandmother was at my parents' house. I was in the shower, got out of the shower. I had my lolly with the tuck.
Sure.
I was tucking in the shower.
Yo.
I went and I spoke to my great-grandmother as well, because I thought, you know what, she didn't do anything wrong to me. I'm not cross with her, and I know I'm in the wrong, but I love her, so I'm going to spend a bit of time with her and chat to her. I always love chatting to her.
Yeah.
And she said, in the conversation, she said, "My kind, wanneer gaat jy regkom?" And I just told her, "Oh, ma'am, done. I want help now.
Wow.
But this is my condition. If I get up, I don't want my parents to pay a single cent where they are going to be able to turn around and tell me that I wasted their money. Send me to an institution or a place that is going to help me. And it's not going to come at a financial cost, because they've done too much for me in my life."
Yeah.
And I was ready to call it quits. But I still struggled. And this is where my grandmother had called my mom. She said, "Valencia, kom." And my mom had to come into the lounge, and she said, "Die kind sê jy wil regkom." And my dad, the look that they had on their faces, because they had struggled. They never raised bad children, but I turned up bad. For some reason, I was doing bad, and they couldn't understand. But it was due to me and my needs, and not understanding how to handle things, that I had made those bad decisions. And they put us onto the Palmers. So Mr. and Mrs. Palmer from Bridgetown, they came and they spoke, and they asked me a few questions, and they said, "Look, there is a place in Mitchell's Plain that will help people like you." And this is how I came to know Mount Hope. And in the week after that, I met a gentleman by the name of Guido, who lives in the area there, Guido Enkerman. And he was also on drugs, and he had seen me a number of times walking past him, and he said that I was always in a hurry. I was always rushing to get somewhere, walking somewhere. But that was me running to get drugs, or to go and find a way to provide for my habit.
Yeah.
And this guy just helped me. He encouraged me, and I went to Mount Hope. And I think the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Yes.
Nou ja, luisteraars, ek gesels met Devin. En dankie vir al die pragtige boodskapies wat deurkom, hoe mense regtig waar diep geraak is deur Sy getuienis 0817291657 is die WhatsApp lyn as jy hulle dalk 'n boodskapie wil stuur. Nou gaan ons vir Devin weer so 'n bietjie van 'n breekie gee. En hierdie man, hy kom al die pad van die Noord-Kaap wat jy nou gaan bless met 'n pragtige pragtige lied. Hy het sy getuienis op sy eie deur hierdie lied vertel 'n storie ook van wat Michael Miller ook al moes deurgegaan het en ek het net gedink dis so gepas vandag. I think Devin, you are going to appreciate this song. So kom ons luister na Michael Miller en hy sing vir ons die pragtige lied Through It All. Ek dink ons kan almal getuig waardeur die Here vir ons deurgedra het. Die pragtige lied gesing deur Michael Miller al die pad van die Noord-Kaap. Pragtige lied geskryf en gesing deur Michael Miller. Dit vat 'n mens terug as 'n mens net dink waardeur het die Here vir ons gebring through it all. Wow, wow, wow. Baie dankie Michael vir daai pragtige lied. Jy's 'n groot blessing. Nou ja, luisteraars, ek gesels nog met Devin. Ons het nog so 'n paar minute oor om te gesels oor sy testimony. And Devin, before we continue, I would just like to give your contact details to the listeners. I'm sure there are so many, many parents, you know, who can relate to what you've experienced and maybe some of their children are still addicted to drugs. So luisteraars, ek gaan Devin se nommer net gou-gou vir julle deurgee. Sy kontaknommer is 0735607478. Ek herhaal 0735607478. Gaan besoek hom ook daar op Facebook Devin Benjamin en dan enige inligting wat jy benodig. Onthou, hy het deur die program gegaan en hy kan baie inligting aan jy verskaf en hoe nodig dit is om deur so 'n program te gaan. Now, Devin, back to you. We were speaking about your journey, you know, as a drug addict, but how you were finally, you know, freed from it when you got saved, but it was a process. Share that process with the listeners.
So I want to make an analogy. Mm. You know, before we get to that process,
no problem.
In order for you to get gold, gold comes from bedrock or from rock, iron ore, right? Or whatever you may call it, it's in the rock.
Yeah.
And it needs to be refined, it needs to be crushed, the gold needs to be taken out and needs to be melted and purified until you get the product where you see a ring or earrings or whatever. And this is the process that I had to go through. I believe that's a process that all ex-addicts have to go through. So when I accepted the fact that I needed help, and I was told about Mount Hope, I went, I had to go for a screening process, and they told me that there is the program is as follows, where you had to go in for 2.5 weeks as an outpatient, meaning that you had to go in the morning, and they don't give you any medication, so it's Bible-based.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in the morning, you go and you attend the program, they teach you skills, they read out the Bible scriptures, and they teach you the word. And they try and equip you. And then in the afternoon, you have to go home again. Mm-hmm. So you go back into the environment that you were in, where you found yourself drugging. And I was in that art program for 2.5 months, actually, before I was taken in.
Mm.
And the reason for that is because there wasn't availability. So the beds were all taken for me to be taken in as an outpatient, but also I was also accused of smoking cigarettes, which wasn't true. So they put me on probation and stopped me from coming in there until they sorted out everything, and then they said come back again. So it kind of prolonged things, but throughout that time I was still drugging, but the frequency became less and the longing to do it became less, and I started becoming stronger because my mind was set on a bigger picture, a bigger goal. And I finally was taken into the program.
Yeah.
And I count my salvation from that very day. From the 1st of October. No, it's the 1st of September, 2008. accepted the Lord as my personal savior, and I went from strength to strength from
Praise
there.
Praise God.
But I stayed in the program for a month. It was a 6-month program. I stayed in the program for a month and I left due to unforeseen circumstances. Mm. And, you know, I made that decision also, and I told myself, you know what, I'm clean for a month. I am not going back again. I'm leaving my ugly habits and the wrong habits behind, and I'm trying to focus on something that I found, which was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I read the Bible.
Wow,
and
awesome.
I ended up going to a church in Athlone, in Bridgetown, actually Silvertown, New Destiny. And there were three figures actually that were very instrumental in keeping me standing throughout those first few months. It was Alvin Surf, they call him Aussie, Godfrey Dyson, and Ronald Smith. And those three men all belong to New Destiny Church in, I think that they relocated to Bridgetown now, but they were very instrumental in keeping me standing, keeping me strong, and surrounding me up until I could stand on my own and just continue to do the Lord's work. And
oh, praise God, praise God. Ja, luisteraars, ja nee, ons bou op nou. Nou kom ons na die goeie nuus, hoe Devin sy hart vir die Here gegee het. Ek gaan net gaan so 'n paar boodskapies lees en dan gesels ek verder met Devin. Nog so 'n voice note wat hier gekom het. Kom ons luister net gou hierna.
Lady PM, Philippine en Devin. Yes, so, julle het my dan gebless vanoggend. Julle bless ons so vanoggend, man. Ek het nou net tuis gekom van my 15.4 kilometer walk en julle het my company gehou op my walk. Ek is so gestig en gebless en so geïnspired en bemoedig deur Devin se testimony, man. En wat 'n mooi song by Michael Miller. Wat 'n mooi song. Beautiful song, Michael Miller. Philippine, dankie. Ek waardeer vir julle vanoggend. Wat my so lieflik bless. Ricardo hierso. Ek is nou tuis. Ek luister nou weer verder lekker.
Ah, oh, bly jy veilig tuis, Ricardo, en baie, baie dankie. Ricardo Benet, hy is nog steeds in die huis. Hy is net van sy lekker oggendstappie afgekom. Kom, ek lees net gauw nog so 'n boodskap wat deurgekom het hier. Thank you so much for your testimony, Devin. May our sons, uncles, brothers, cousins, and fathers draw strength and courage from your victory over drug abuse. Only God. Stay blessed and confident in Christ, my brother. This comes from none other than Michael Miller, who blessed us with that beautiful song, Through It All. Thank you so much, Michael, for tuning in. Yes, kom ons kyk, wat is hier nog? Wat is hier nog? Wat is hier nog? Wat is hier nog? Nee, dis maar net iemand wat 'n pragtige boodskapie stuur en sê amen en amen. Weer eens, sister, pastor Lenet. Nou, kom ons gaan voort. Ons is amper daar. Devin, today you are a proud dad of two sons. What valuable lessons have you learned through your experience as a child that you are applying in your role as a father today?
I think the most valuable lesson that I've learned thus far is to give that attention to your children. Yes, you have to provide and be able to provide financially for your children. But sometimes money can't buy love. You know, and just to be present. I try and do as much as I can do for my children, and sometimes I earn out. You know, we are only human, and we can only do so much. And yes, I fall flat on my face sometimes where I unfortunately lose my temper, but you know, I'm trying to strive every single day to do things for my children, to better myself so that I can become a better dad, so that they can become better children, equipped, and when they do grow up to become adults one day, they would be able to then show this into their children, you know, to implant it in their children's lives and to allow them to grow and set that example.
Yes. Wow. Thanks, Devin, for sharing that with us. And you also had dreams and goals of becoming a professional soccer player. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct.
So, what advice can you give to young people how to live out their dreams, coming back to your own dream of becoming a professional soccer player?
First and foremost, I think that all young people need to find out what their passion is, you know? And they need to believe so much in themselves that whatever somebody else tells them does not affect them, whether it be a negative or
That's
a positive.
Right.
I was looking for my father's how do you say, for him to approve my father's approval.
Mm.
And in that, I lost sight of my passion and I made the wrong decisions.
Yeah.
For every young person that is listening at the moment, if you believe and you want something, don't ever give up. Don't listen to what people got to say. If they tell you that you can't do it, don't listen.
Come on.
If you want to do it, go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather try and fail than fail to never try.
Yes.
Wow. God is there. God will help you. The doors will be open. If that is not for you, it's fine. You know what? That's the journey that you went through. Because something else is going to pop up and you might find that your strength is not what you wanted, but something else that is, that is going to show itself. And the Lord will use you. You will be able to open up doors for somebody else as well.
Yeah.
So don't give up on your passion. Don't listen to negativity. Try and stay positive.
Amen. Amen. Very valuable information from my guest today, Davin Benjamin. Ek hoop julle is nog sommer lekker, lekker, lekker gestig en geniet die koffie terwyl julle luister en die Bybel is ook oop en julle het daardie skrif nagegaan wat ek vroeër gegee het uit Johannes 8 vers 36. If the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. Jy hoef nie te voel, jy is nog steeds in bondage nie, man. Want Christus, as hy jou vry maak, is hy waarlik vry. Now, just another question before we take another break. Davin, how can you encourage young people not to turn to drugs? Not to find the solution in drugs.
It's very simple. Drugs are bad for you.
Yes.
Drugs are bad for you. If it was good for you, it would have been legalized.
Yeah.
It would have been sold in shops. There's a reason why you don't have things readily available, why it's illegal. Mm. It's dangerous. It can kill you.
Mm.
It's against the law. You will get into trouble. If you get caught with it, you'll get locked up as well. Ultimately, it's going to harm your body. Leave the drugs alone. If there is something that you are dealing with, go and speak to your parents. If you can't speak to your parents, go and find an adult that you look up to as a role model and confide in them. Ask them for guidance, for help. Drugs is not the answer. It's a destroyer of lives, of families. It will take you down, and once it's taken you down, it will leave you there. There is no coming back if you go past the point of no return.
Yes. You know what, Davin, I just feel now that you should just pray for, and this lady who asked for us to pray for her son, Tattle, if you can just do a short prayer for him.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, my Father God. Lord, you've opened up the door and you've allowed me to share my experience and the love that you have for me, my Father God. And the love that you have for me, my Father God, is no exception, my Father God. It can be spread to anybody that is reaching out to you, my Father God. And I pray, Lord, that as we have heard this mother's calling, my Father God, we know that the heart's desire is for a son to prosper, my Father God.
Mm.
In your word, it says that you will prosper us and not harm us, my Father God.
Mm.
So I pray, Lord, that you will extend your hand into his life, my Father God. Turn this message to a message, my Father God. Let him know that there is a purpose in his life, my Father God. Lord, that the drugs is not the answer, my Father God.
Jesus.
Your word is there to allow him to survive, my Father God. And I ask, Lord, that you just open up the door, my Father God. Take his mind captive, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, help his mother. Give her the strength, my Father God, just to continue to pray, my Father God, for my mother did not. She didn't stop praying, my Father God. And look where it's brought us today, my Father God, for me to allow my testimony to go out, my Father. I pray, Lord, that you will just keep on blessing, my Father God, being a source of strength, my Father
Jesus
God.
Name.
Be the shelter, my Father God. And ultimately, Father God, that we will be able to give you a praise report, my Father God, because this young man's life will change, my Father
yes,
God.
Lord.
All he needs to
Thank
do is
you,
go
Lord.
On to his knees and ask for forgiveness, ask for help, and you will be there, my Father
Jesus
God.
Name.
Protect him and keep him safe in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Die Here is nog steeds op die troon. Hy is die God van wonders en pas hulle net, ek dink jy gaan terugkom met 'n kragtige getuienis. Nou ja mense, ons is amper aan die einde van die program, maar ons speel nog 'n lied en dan kom ons terug, dan is dit tyd vir Davin om te groet en hy gaan nog net so 'n laaste bemoediging gee. So kom ons luister na die lied gesing deur Ricardo en Siobhan, I Believe. I Believe, gesing deur Ricardo en Siobhan. Wat 'n pragtige lied. En ja, luisteraars, jy is nog steeds ingeskakel by Radio Kapse Kansel 729 AM, jou daaglikse reisgenoot. Jy hoef nooit alleen te voel nie. En dis die program Coffee Date met jou dienende gasvrou, Lady PM. Lenet Pastor Lenet sê amen en amen. Ek glo so en ek vertrou my God van wonders. Niks is onmoontlik by hom nie. Dankie Brother Devin, sê sy, mag God jou van hoogte tot hoogte vat in Jesus naam. Pastor Lenet, ons wag op daardie wonderlike getuienis wat gaan deurkom. Nou ja mense, dis amper tyd om vir Devin te groet. But I just want him just to share something with us. As he said, there's something that he would like to share about his wife and how he met her, and then he's just going to encourage you. Yes, I'm just going to let it flow now. Over to you, Devin.
What I want to share, and I want the listeners to also understand, is that this was a very, very big highlight. A very, very big highlight in my life, especially in the darkest period, you know, coming out of drug addiction and finding salvation. You know, finding salvation is the biggest point where, you know, you learn to accept the Lord and Savior into your life, and all things are made new, and things come to a point where you walk out of the darkness and into the light. And when I found myself in that program at Mount Hope, I met a young lady, Megan Brink.
Hey yo.
And there was just something about her. I didn't understand what it was. Mm. And we started speaking, and I prayed to the Lord, and I asked the Lord. I said, God, you know, I'm here now for a problem, for substance abuse.
Mm.
I don't need any distractions in my life.
Yeah.
I don't want women to distract me. I want to serve you because I found you. I came here for drugs, but I found you.
Mm.
And I'm struggling. Mm. I don't need things to sidetrack me. And I said, Lord, if this is from you, then this is from you. I will accept it. But if it's not from you, take her out of the way.
Mm.
And the one day I was, she's probably going to get me for this, but when I was in the program, and we knew each other for a short space of time, a few weeks, and we would write letters to one another, which was against the protocol of the church.
Yeah.
I came down the stairs the one day, and I just told her, you know what, I'm going to marry you. And she looked at me, and she was so shocked. She didn't know what to say. And I was shocked. I was like, where did this come from? I don't know where it came from. And it just, I mean, the words just came out of my mouth. And look what happened down the line.
Look what the Lord
has done.
This
is what the Lord has done. I came to find the Lord, but the Lord blessed me with a wonderful woman.
Praise God.
A warrior. And she's my support structure.
Hallelujah. Wonderful.
I just want to encourage everybody also.
Yes, just a last encouragement.
Yes. Go on your knees, pray. You know, the Lord is not too far to hear.
Mm.
He's there to comfort you. He's there to help
Amen.
You. What he has done for me, I can do far more for you in your time of
Amen.
Need.
Amen.
And just want to thank the listeners also for the opportunity, Philippine, for your opportunity. My mother, Valencia,
You're
Benjamin,
welcome.
Doreen,
You're
Brink,
welcome.
For being there. Lucian, Marcelino, Joshua, everybody, thank you.
Thank you, Devin. You were such a great blessing. And may God just open more kingdom doors for you. I know your heart. I know that you just want to reach others who went through the same thing or is going through what you've gone through, but you can testify what God has done in your life. So thank you so much. I would like to have you back again.
Thank you
God
very much.
God bless you. God bless you so much. Ricardo Benet sê, laat ons gou sien, wat sê Ricardo Benet? Wat sê hy? Hy sê, Lady PM, dankie vir die mooi program vandag. Veilig huis toe en mooi bly. Baie dankie, Ricardo Benet. So ja, mense, ek groet vir Devin. En was hy nie vir ons 'n groot blessing nie? Hy gaan terugkom met sy vrou, want hy het vir my gesê sy vrou het 'n wonderlike getuienis. Maar bly ingeskakel op Kaapse Kansel Everyday Living, net na die nuus, en dan is dit Father's Love, laat ek dit net gou reg kry. Pastors Bongani en Lindiwe Msebi om 12:00 en dan Leefstyl om 1:00 word aangebied deur Gilma Stander, en in daardie program kan jy ook luister na 'n boodskap wat ek bring. So bly ingeskakel. Volgende week het ek weer 'n gas hier in die ateljee, 'n dametjie met die naam van Kim. en sy gaan ook haar getuienis kom deel, maar baie baie dankie aan almal wie ingeskakel het. Dit is werklik waar vir my, soos hulle altyd sal sê, 'n riem onder die hart as die luisteraars so getrou inskakel. Ek weet baie het load shedding challenges gehad, maar ons hoop dit kom ook binnekort tot op 'n einde. Yes, waar daar begin is, moet daar 'n einde wees. En van my kant af wil ek vir julle groet en net vir julle sê that keep your eyes focused on the author and the perfecter of your faith, none other than Jesus. Devin, once again, goodbye.
Thank you very much and goodbye.
Nou ja, luisteraars, het was goed om vandag weer eens in die ateljee te kon gewees het. Verlede week was ek mos nou nie fisies hier nie, maar ek weet julle het 'n wonderlike tyd gehad. So wees veilig, kyk mooi na julleself en tot volgende week, dan maak ons weer so hier op Koffie Date. God bless you.
Hierdie inset was aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.